Good morning and welcome to Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. I'm your host, Corey Lane. Our producer and technical operator is Dennis Johnson. Well, as you know, the globe is navigating these unprecedented times, and the Barbados government and their team has asked for the people's support, participation, and cooperation as we successfully navigate through the national COVID-19 response. And to successfully overcome these challenging times, there have been change. And one thing constant in life is change, but many of you know that most humans resist change. With the recent changes in our lives, many of you have unanswered questions. Well, here on Brass Tack Sunday, I believe we have the answers. To help us to get through the many questions that you have, we have on air and with us for this show today, the COVID-19 National Response Team, led by Attorney General, the Honorable Dale Marshall. We have the COVID Czar, Mr. Richard Carter, and from the Ministry of Health, Chief Medical Officer's Office, Dr. Anton Bess. I'd like to say good morning and welcome to you gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we are going to get down to brass tacks, but just some housekeeping before we go, some house rules. Now, I don't intend to be sharp or sharp, as we would say in Barbados, unmannerly, unkind, or rude. But I just want to state this is a very important topic. Many people have questions. So I'm inviting you to call the program at 434-1790 or send your short WhatsApp to 266-IVOB, that is 266-4862. And the whole purpose of today's program is to get a lot of clarity out there. So I just want you to come, ask your question. If you feel the need for a follow-up question, let me moderate that. And I ask the guests equally, if you can be as succinct as possible, please do so. But if you do feel the need to expand on a reply, go right ahead. So with no further ado, we're going to give credit to the sponsor, and then we are getting straight down to Brass Tacks. This is Brass Tack Sunday with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials. For building supplies, big or small, at Brilliant
Metals we have it all. At Brilliant Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, the lines are going, and I would assist you by letting you know that in terms of the lockdown measures and so on, I believe a lot of those questions could be directed to the Attorney General. In terms of specific programs the government would have put in place, you have Czar Richard Carter, and in terms of the actual virus itself and the Ministry of Health's response, I believe you could direct those to Dr. Anton Bess. Of course, any of you gentlemen with any information or any of the questions can feel free to jump in and bring clarity to any of the issues raised. Let's go straight to the phone line 5 minutes after 11 o'clock and say good morning and welcome to our first caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir, to the panel. Good morning to the esteemed panel. Just a simple question. Can I go to the beach? I have been getting missed signals. One police officer told me I can't. 2 hours after, another police officer I met told me I can. What is the real thing? Can I go to the beach? And how many people could I carry? Can I carry 2, 3, 4? Could you please answer that and let me know? Clarify it for me, please.
Thank you, sir. Have a good morning. Can we go to the beach?
If I can jump right in on that. Let me just say that the government of Barbados, during this period, is not keeping the people of Barbados under siege or overriding. Mission is to help to reduce the spread of COVID. But what we, as far as we're concerned, Barbadians can do certain things as long as they're responsible, and going to the beach is one of them. While we are saying to Barbadians that they need to stay at home, we still have to operate within a cultural context. Today is Sunday. Barbadians will traditionally go to the beach on Sunday. In fact, depending on who you listen to, seawater is very good for helping with respiratory illnesses. So, yes, sir, you can go to the beach, but we are insisting at all times that you be responsible, maintain physical distancing, and do not congregate. So if there's a family who's thinking, today is Sunday, let's have a beach picnic, not on. But on the other hand, if you want to go to the beach and enjoy a little Sunday recreation, we're not going to stand in the way of that.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's keep it going. Brastat Sunday, good morning.
Hello, good morning to your panel, esteemed panel. Mr. Lane and panel.
Hi,
good morning. Last night was the best night I ever encountered in my 64 years.
Goodness. I wonder why that is.
Listen, the noise, the motorcycles running about, keeping a big mile, the noise, people cursing. And listen, I would like it so to like die. I would like this country so to like die.
One man's inconvenience is another man's enjoyment. Thank you, sir. Brastat Sunday, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good morning. This is to Mr. Marshall. Now, Mr. Yes, Marshall, sir, I remembered years ago we had an outbreak of conjunctivitis in this country, and everyone ran to the sea because they were told that seawater was good for the conjunctivitis, and it made it worse. It was island-wide. Again, you are telling the people that they can go to the beach because seawater is very good for some respiratory illnesses.
No, ma'am, please, let me stop you. I have not said that seawater is good. I am not a doctor. I have absolutely no medical training. I said that some people say.
Yeah, but sir, that is irresponsible mouthing because you know Barbadians.
Ma'am,
we will all go to the sea when we start to cough.
But let's bring in Chief Medical Officer here, Dr. Anton Best. This whole idea, because a lot of people coming up with a lot of home remedies as well, and they're going to speak to that in the program. Seawater and COVID.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey. So the caller is asking a very good question. So just to add to what the AG said a few moments ago, we are not advising people to go out of their homes when they're ill. So the advice to go to the beach and advice to do certain activities with the restrictions that are put in place do not include if you're ill. If you are ill, particularly if you have a respiratory problem, you have to seek medical attention. And the way that you do that is to call your regular healthcare provider to get advice. You can call a polyclinic when the polyclinics are open. You can call the hotline that has been set up to get advice as to what to do. So the advice about going to the beach when you had conjunctivitis, to be honest with you, I hadn't heard about that, but that's not very good advice. No one who is ill should be, especially with respiratory complaints, should be leaving their home and going to the beach.
Very good. Now, that's the other thing I want to add before we take the other call. I want people to, we can do our best to put on these programs. I want to thank you three gentlemen for taking time out to come and answer questions. But I need the public to meet us halfway. And that is to listen well and hear what people say and not what you think people say. Like, for instance, AG never said anything about it helping. He said, people have said that. And I'm sure that it helps in other ways. As a lot of people have a lot of anxiety and stress and so on, and the beach is a kind of place that can assist with that.
A great therapy.
Therapeutic. So I want people to meet us halfway. This is too important to play with this. So let's just keep it going again. 10 minutes after 11, Brastat Sunday, you're on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir, to the panel also. This is to whom it may concern. Now, my main point this morning, 2 points I have to make. The young people tend to feel that they are not accessible to this virus. They have to get a strong message telling them that they are also included to get it because they don't feel so. Next point is that there are some vagrants or homeless persons sleeping in the Bay Street Esplanade and in the other shack. That should be continued because people go in there to have certain little discussions and so on, especially in the Esplanade. And that those person that sleeps in there at night at this time should not be allowed to. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
If I can make a brief response. So this is Richard Carter. First of all, the issue about young people. We have made it clear in all of our communication that even though young persons may get the milder form of COVID or may be better able to deal with it if they get the illness, they are by no means immune. They are also by no means at zero risk of getting gravely ill. And if we were to look at we are reasonably early on in our epidemic, but if we were to look at the data coming out of countries that have had large numbers of cases, there are people who are dying as early as below 10, right through to nonagenarians, people over 90 years old. So people can die. The second thing is that what we've said to young people, and this message has been repeated several times, that you have a responsibility not just to protect yourself, but to protect your parents, to protect your grandparents, to protect those persons who may live in the household with you. And that message has gone out several times. I don't think that, obviously, we are doing and using a variety of means to try to reach people. But the message is clear. You are not immune. And further than that, you are placing other people at risk. In respect of the question or the concern about persons sleeping in the Bay Street Esplanade, I am pleased to say that the National COVID-19 Preparedness Plan has reached out to the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness. And we have specifically engaged them in respect of trying to ensure that the number of persons who are sleeping on the streets are offered and that they have available the appropriate facility for them to sleep at night. I am extremely impressed with the proactive measures that have been taken by Kemar Safri and his team. We have also made representation to the Attorney General for that shelter to be exempted because we want to ensure, or persons who work in the shelter to be exempted, because we want to ensure that as many people as possible stay off the streets and are able to be accommodated.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, I'm going to take a healthy mix of calls and messages. I am taking on my Facebook, I've gone live so that people can interact there as well. But of course, we have the WhatsApp. The first question here I see is one, it says, Corey, I have a question. A JetBlue flight came in the country yesterday around 4 p.m. and visitors were seen disembarking the plane. Why are we allowing visitors in at this time?
Let me say that the protocol in relation to flight, we have made it quite clear that anybody coming in from the United States, from Europe, if they come to Barbados, they are under quarantine. But that's not really your question, but I'm just making that point clear. We are making sure that Barbadians are not put at risk. Now, as far as I am aware, flights for pretty much all of the airlines are now at a standstill, and therefore that issue will not continue to arise as we go forward. In relation to the flight that came in yesterday, I am not aware of the specifics, but I am aware that on occasions, JetBlue has actually canceled flights in cooperation with the government of Barbados. So I will say that I will have to look into the issue of the JetBlue flight that came in yesterday. I don't know how many passengers would have been on it. I am aware that some flights have come in with as few as, I think a BA flight came in and had a crew and 12 people, and every single person was immediately sent to quarantine at Paragon. So we are making quite sure that anyone who is exposed has to be quarantined and not exposing Barbadians to the risk.
Okay, Roger that. Thank you. Take another call. Brastat Sunday. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just want to say good morning to the panel. I want to reach out and say I wish the Prime Minister best of health, and I believe that she, as well as the government, has done a wonderful job so far.
Thank you very much.
Dealing with all the stages incrementally. I want to say a big thank you to the Tsar and all the members out there fighting. My question is such where I was a little disappointed that the dental surgeons or the dental fraternity was not listed specifically in the list of exempt persons. I mean, I know that we can because I've spoken to, I've called the hotline, but I believe that we are right up in there dealing with the patients. Now, we have people, I have persons yesterday finished work, say around 12 o'clock, and between 12 and this morning, I got about 5 calls with people in pain. And obviously, we will have to deal with people with certain emergencies. And I don't think it would have taken much for the AG to have just made sure that, we as professionals would have been included right there for people to see. So just a bit of disappointment. I know that it's a fluid situation and you wouldn't remember everything. But at the same time, because of the nature of our job and where we are within the fight, I believe that it should not have been forgotten. But
all right, call us, stick a pin, I can get a response and I'll let you ask a follow-up question if required. Who wants to take that one?
Yeah, if I can say, well, maybe I should let Dr. Best speak from the point of view of medicine. But let me say that, and this is not a case of us asking for any special favors. We are here to govern. This has been a new experience for Barbados. As I keep saying to people, I don't know of anyone in living memory who has a recollection of any state of emergency ever having been called in Barbados, and certainly not as it relates to public health. In fact, you would know that we had to go to Parliament so as to put special arrangements in place for public health. We felt that the definition of medical persons, paramedical professionals, nurses, and so on, staff of hospital clinics and pharmacies would have included dentists and allied services, and I'm happy that you consider that it's able to do that. But I can assure you that if there is any situation that requires clarification, we are more than happy to do so, and we've been doing so at every step of the way. I apologize that we didn't specify dentists, but certainly when we talked about medical professionals and so on, there was no doubt in my mind that dental facilities would have been open. Anton?
Yeah, absolutely, AG. That was also an oversight on my part when I would have seen the draft list, because it did talk about the public sector services in terms of health, and of which there are dental services that we provide in the Ministry of Health. And then it talked about our counterparts in the private healthcare sector, and it was all-encompassing. So dentists are included, even though they weren't explicitly highlighted or stated.
Yeah. But I reiterate that if there's any clarification on any part of the directive that is required, we shall certainly be willing to do so.
Yeah, and I only brought it up specifically because this morning I got up and I called the hotline and I asked about the beach. And at that time, the person answering, I said no, and then an hour later we were told that's not true. So only from that perspective, you know, because as I said again, it's a fluid situation, you know, everybody will not be able to know everything at this time. So I just wanted to make sure that certain things were highlighted by, how can we say, by significance, that some of us were not forgotten, so that it didn't become a situation where we had to ask a question to the hotline and were given a yes one way and then a no another, you know? Only from that perspective. But thank you to everybody.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Good luck going forward.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Lots of questions here on employment. And because there are like a gazillion WhatsApps in already, I'm going to combine. So if you hear a question answered in a different way, don't fear. Cannot ask all. As Loretta would say, can all. Good morning. Can someone please explain if it is right for employers to give staff holiday and also close the business at the same time? Thank you.
Well, let me say that under the order, businesses have to be closed. So if you're closed, you're closed. But at the same time, I think we have to operate in a give and take situation. As Attorney General, I will be the first person to say that the Holidays of Pay Act stipulates that you cannot compel a person to take holiday unless you give them 14 days notice. So anybody who compels an employee to take holiday because their business is closed they could not have given them the 14 days notice because the Prime Minister only announced the curfew on Thursday. So it is a breach of the law. But at the same time, we recognize that this is a difficult time economically for companies, difficult time for all of us. We really don't know when this COVID thing is going to pass so that we can return to a state of normalcy. So as an administrator, as a member of the government, we are always hoping that both the employer and the employee can resolve these issues in a way that's reasonable and constructive. An employee is able to say, no, I'm not taking my holiday. So you have to still allow me to take my holiday later in the year. That's a position that we want people to resolve amicably. But the law is the law. You cannot compel an employee to take holidays. So even if the business is closed, it is wrong for an employer to force the employee to treat that time as holiday time. But I am aware that in many instances, businesses and employees are coming up with reasonable compromises.
Okay, Roger that. Brastat Sunday, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Welcome.
Peace be unto you and yours and to the minister.
Thank you, ma'am.
My concern is, before I start, I just want to send, I too want to send heartfelt get well greetings to Honorable Prime Minister, Ms. Martin, my family and I. And I wish her all the best. And as I said before, I know she needs rest because she's been there. She have done a lot of work, and every time I look at her, you always saying she needs rest. So she needs that rest. So I wish her God.
She's getting
God,
enforced
God's
rest now.
Pardon me?
She got it. Yeah,
she's getting enforced rest.
Yes, well, sir. My concern this morning is when I got up and I look at my WhatsApp, I was very, very touched. I mean, we are saying, who don't have the many choices of viewing, they hear on the radio, people sending WhatsApp messages, and we see out in Italy and France and those other places how many lives they've lost. And in this mall, I wish Barbados all the best in the Caribbean, and I pray that God will soon send some scientists with a cure to cure this. We've lost two of our citizens, our Barbadians in America, and it's really heart-wrenching, and on behalf of my family, and I want to pass on deepest condolences to those Belgians who are in America that have lost their lives. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure speaking to you, Attorney General.
Okay,
thank you very much. Thank you very much, ma'am, for your kind words and for your best wishes for the Prime Minister. I received a report about the incident Saturday morning, the wee hours of Saturday morning from the police. And it really makes it clear to us that there's an element of our society that could care less about what the country is going through as long as they get what they want. I'm very happy that in the location that there were video cameras, the people were wearing masks, but the police are still able to get certain evidence from whatever they have. In relation to your concern about the safety of Barbadians as they go about their business, we have spent a lot of time in the police force developing a plan to deal with this situation, the situation of COVID. Obviously, police are just like every other individual. Police can and do get sick. Nurses will get sick. Everybody has a chance of getting this disease. So our first concern has been, in the event that the Royal Barbados Police Force is hard hit in terms of people having to be quarantined or people falling ill, how are we going to make sure that Barbadians are safe? And I think that we have a very good plan, which will see a better utilization of our resources. We are looking at the prospect of actually bringing back up some retired police officers to help to shore up any short areas. But at all times, we're trying to make sure that Barbadians are safe. It is a good thing that too many people are not on the road during the curfew period at night, because that gives the police certain advantages. Those individuals who have to be on the road, we're putting a system of passes in place so that they can have a pass that they can show on their mobile phone to the police, who will have the ability to read that data online. So if a person is on the road and up to no good, the police will have a very, very easy opportunity to arrest what they're doing.
All right. Thank you very much. Good response. And I think we're going good. Let's take another call. Brass Tack Sunday. Good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
And good morning to your panel. Hello?
Good morning, man.
Good morning, good morning.
Oh, okay. First, I'm sending get well wishes to the Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. My questions,
thank
my three
so
questions. Are employees getting paid for the 2 weeks off from NIS? That's number one. Number two, what becomes of the chief medical officer? Number three, are all borders still open to private plane travelers going on the West Coast? And are they being tested for the corona? That's my three questions.
What was the second question?
Let's do it one by one, man. Let's go.
Yeah,
first question.
Are employees being paid by NAS? The NAS has a system of paying employees in certain circumstances. However, if a business is closed in this situation, it is not a layoff situation, and therefore the NAS doesn't kick in. It is not a sick leave situation, and therefore the NAS doesn't kick in. So when we say that people have to share the burden, the fact is that employers really are going to be under an obligation to pay their staff at this time.
Okay. The other question she had was, if anyone else on the line could remember, she had asked
the
about
the... like what became of the CMO, but I'm not understanding what the caller meant.
We know we've had acting CMO, CMO Kenneth George, we've had... I think she means the other CMOs.
Okay,
if they put it like that.
So essentially, the substantive acting chief medical officer is on leave at this time.
All right.
If I may, the third question was about the private travelers, the persons who come on private jet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the policy, as I understand it, and AG, please correct me if I'm wrong, but we did make special provisions for persons who reside in Barbados to go into self-quarantine for a period of 14 days if they're coming from any of the countries of interest. And those countries were listed earlier, the U.S., the U.K., Europe, in addition to four countries that had long been on the list. And that decision was made just about 2 weeks ago. So we have had situations in which persons... clearing customs and immigration did say that they were going to their villa. They did pass through Port Health, and they're under a period of quarantine, just like persons who reside in Barbados going into quarantine in their homes.
Okay.
And Corey, just let me stress that the persons are not simply going to their villas or going to private residences, but they are in the period while they're in quarantine. They are followed up by our health officials to check and ensure that they are not reporting any symptoms and that they are, in fact, well.
All right. So what I think we should do to give that a comprehensive answer and not patch, let's go through the procedure as set up by the Ministry of Health, Port Health, and everything from the time someone arrives here to the time they get into quarantine and what the quarantine is supposed to look like.
Sure. So from the 26th, all right, Corey, when we were keenly aware that there was a major epidemic happening in Asia where COVID-19 is concerned, we started surveillance at our ports of entry because we were expecting imported cases. So to reduce the likelihood of an imported case, we started screening by asking travelers where they traveled from. So initially on that list were travelers from China, and we broke it down. If you were from Hubei province in China, you were considered to be at extremely high risk and would have had to go into mandatory quarantine. Or if you were from other parts of China, seeing that there were other pockets of the epidemic happening outside of Wuhan, you would have gone into a 14-day quarantine period. For the 14-day quarantine period in your home, there's a team, a public health team, that would monitor you on a daily basis. You would be, sorry, I should have added that you would have been given instructions as to what the quarantine looked like. So you couldn't interact with people outside of the use of a telephone or from a distance. If you needed food or water brought to your home, somebody would have to do it and leave it there, but you could not come in close proximity to those persons in quarantine. The public health team would call on a daily basis, and they would also go to the person's homes to ensure that they were complying with the directives of Port Health, and then to also monitor the person. So they would take a temperature, and then they would ask if you developed symptoms over the last 24 hours since the team was last there. So initially, we had China, and then we added the Republic of Korea. We then added Italy and Iran. And then more recently, the U.S., the U.K., and Europe, as I just mentioned. We got to a point where visiting on a daily basis was no longer feasible because we had it is quite labor-intensive. So the same instructions were given, and the same team that would do the home visits would then call the homes, preferably on a landline for obvious reasons, to make sure that persons who were supposed to be in quarantine were adhering to quarantine and that they were well. On occasion, you would have somebody in quarantine that would develop symptoms that were possibly suggestive of COVID-19. We would then arrange for that person to be tested and for the test to determine what next. If they did develop COVID-19, they would have been sent into the isolation center. And let me just add that none of those persons that we had in quarantine, if I remember correctly, ended up actually becoming positive for COVID.
Right. I think that part is very important because lots of people, you know, we've been telling people to follow the credible sources. Lots of people give the impression that lots of people come through the airport and just walk right through. I had a debate like that just about a week ago on Brass Tacks, and many people just try to make it seem as though this is what has been happening, although it was made to understand by the officials that this is contrary to reality. So I just want people to continue to follow credible sources. Dennis?
Thank you, Corey. Morning panel. Following on what you say, so on Friday, as the producer of this program, there was a call to Mr. Ellis, and the person claimed that they were standing outside of a commercial bank waiting to get in, and there was someone there who claimed that they were supposed to be on quarantine, but they had to get into the bank, that they were not going to use the ATM, but they had to get into the bank. The person claimed they called an official at the bank, they called security to deal with it, and the person insisted that they were staying there to get into the bank, and they claimed out loud for people to hear that they were on quarantine. The question that I'm putting at the end of this is public mischief at this time, and perhaps this is at the AG, because I don't know whether this actually happened, whether people are actually making these claims in public, but is there a way that the public, faced with this type of reaction, what should they do? Should they call the police? Should they call an official? What should they do if this happens?
Are you hearing me?
Yes, please.
Go clearly ahead. Sir.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think public mischief is probably as bad as intentional criminal activity. It puts people into a state of despair and panic, and it is one of the problems that we've been dogged with from the time we started dealing with this virus situation, people putting up fake news of shutdowns and so on. Any person who claims that he should be in quarantine, the police should be called, and the chief medical officer would be involved. We say that the chief medical officer is the most powerful man in Barbados. He can put anyone into isolation. He can shut down any enterprise. It's a bit awkward, but the right thing to do would have been to call the police, and the police would then be able to intervene. There's an individual who's supposed to be in quarantine, but is not, and the chief medical officer can immediately put that person into isolation.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we may want to spend a little time on this whole idea of public mischief as a crime, and also look at, with, you know, some moral suasion, we may be able to convince the majority. But I think we need to outline to the rest who would always want to be part of that. What are some of the measures that can be used by the state apparatus to bring that to an end? This is Brass Tack Sunday with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
If you're not joining us, we are on air with the Attorney General, the Chief Medical Officer, and the COVID Czar, Attorney General Dale Marshall, COVID Czar Richard Carter, and Chief Medical Officer Anton Bess. Now, it's a little overwhelming here. I tell you, a lot of calls coming in, lots of messages and so on, more than usual. But I think that we're doing pretty good, and I would encourage you to continue to keep your questions and answers quite to the point. Donna Brastatz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Yeah, fine. And the panel as well. Let me start by saying that I wish by the Prime Minister a speedy recovery, and I wish you all the best. And focus on yourself, this Prime Minister, Barbara Stecker. Now, let me start by complimenting the government and the stakeholders and the whole team for the act for the COVID-19. To my mind, just looking at it from our position, I think Barbados handled it excellently well. Now, they are following the WHO idea. Testing, contact tracing, social distancing, and quarantining. Now, most of the countries that I look overseas, big international companies, get overwhelmed in their hospitals. Glad to say Barbados is well and truly organized. Now, a couple of little questions that I'd like to ask here. Now, I don't know if you want me to do one by one,
and let's give it quickly.
Good.
Surefire.
When the next update is coming.
All right. Next update.
Mm-hmm.
Anton? Sure. So at present, we have, as of yesterday, we have 33 cases of COVID-19 in Barbados. At this current point in time, 16 of those are males and 17 of those are females. The majority of cases that we have are imported. 19 cases of those 33 are imported. 11 have been identified through contact tracing, and we're still investigating two of those cases. And that's out of a total of 287 lab tests that we've conducted over the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Roger that. I think you made an update, as in the national update?
He answered the question.
Okay, good.
Actually. Mm-hmm. Right, the next one is we're talking about bringing Cuban doctors and nurses. Are they going into quarantine? Cuban doctors and nurses?
I'm not a doctor, but I raised that question with the Minister of Health. And Anton, you can tell me if this is correct, but my understanding from the Minister of Health is that the people who are, the Cuban doctors who are going to be coming in are going to be working in the isolation centers with COVID patients.
Correct.
Okay. With patients who have been tested positive for COVID, and therefore it is not. If you have it, then you can't give it to a person who already has it. But I do believe that the Ministry of Health will determine its protocols. That may not be quite complete because obviously the nurses are going to be living in our communities and so on, renting houses and things of the sort. So I believe that the imperative would be to quarantine them.
Right. AG, if I might add, the Ministry of Health is working with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on this one. And the question was raised, to what extent do we need to be cautious of persons coming from Cuba where COVID-19 is concerned? The At last count, I believe it was on Friday, there were less than 90 cases of COVID-19 in Cuba. And if you remember the population of Cuba being substantially higher than Barbados, we do not see Cubans coming to Barbados as a risk. Be that as it may, we are still going to be putting measures in place to screen persons who are coming in. That would entail taking a history and asking if they have any signs and symptoms in keeping with COVID. So rest assured that we're not looking to make a bad situation worse by bringing persons who themselves are infected. And then, of course, we pay very close attention to what we do in hospital settings and in clinical care settings in terms of infection prevention and control, because we do not want any healthcare workers to be exposed or to be themselves positive for COVID-19 where they can infect persons.
And the last question is probably a two-phase question to the Attorney General. Are you all considering a ban on these? Well, all the stations in Barbados, I think, what we call the stations that broadcast to the young people, if we could put a hold on them. And the second part of that question is, if we don't have the saying that the children are on vacation, fourth one, if we can use this said stations to broadcast and educational content to our young people, it should be more beneficial to what they spout out on a daily basis. That's my third question.
Let me say, sir, that Barbados is not, the Barbados government has never been in the business of censoring station content. Our only limitation on that is that every station in Barbados has to carry a small percentage of government program. Media and broadcasting services are exempt by virtue of being essential services. I think Richard Carter, would be the first person who would agree that in order to be able to fight COVID, we need to have all of our media on board. Information. And therefore, while I understand your sentiment about the stations that our young people listen to, I don't think that that would be a good idea. I think we have to get those stations involved in the fight. I believe that they are, especially since the caller earlier pointed out that some of the young people are very cavalier and carefree about this disease. So we have to use the media that they listen to in order to reach them. So there's no plan at all to cut back on, to stop any radio station from playing. We can't ban them. That's not how we do things. But what's more important is that we use all opportunities to reach all target audiences, and the young people audience is a very, very important audience to reach at this point. I don't know if Richard would want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I want to make a quick addition to what you said, AG, because I think we really need to complement the mass media in Barbados, which has, generally speaking, been extremely supportive of the response in terms of their outreach. I have heard myself numerous public service announcements. I've heard the urgings by the DJs and the other persons who work at the station consistent with the messaging that the government of Barbados has been putting out. And we are satisfied that the stations themselves have been acting responsibly in this matter and are critical, obviously, to the outreach and support. Just a brief addition. The caller mentioned the use of radio stations or broadcasts in the event that children are not able to go back to school. I am aware that the Ministry of Education is really advancing its planning in respect of its outreach to children and the use of the technology to reach particularly those children who will be doing the common entrance examination, as well as students who are preparing for CXC. And I know that discussions are ongoing all the time with the Ministry of Education in respect of that. We are actually in a really, really fortunate position. My experience from Sierra Leone was that the radio stations had to be employed in respect of outreach to students because there simply was no other means available. We do have a range of technologies that are at the disposal of the Ministry of Education, and I know that there are going to be pressed into service if the if the shutdown and the requirement of schools to be closed persist beyond the current anticipated period.
All right, excellent responses. I try to get quick fire responses to a number of questions that are showing up here over and over on the different platforms that we're using. But just, I had two airline officials just confirm to me that the flight that came in from JetBlue was actually ferried here from JFK to take some Americans home. I can't say I can confirm that, but I do know the two airline officials that are reaching out to me at this time.
Yeah, Corey, yeah, that is correct.
Okay, good. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. See, good. We're working. Down to brass stats, brass stats Sunday. Now, AG, or any three of you actually can answer this in quick fire manner. These are people asking about specific cases. Newspapers are essential. Can we go out and get them? Yes, yes. Or no? Can we go for a walk alone on the street for exercising or whatever?
If you can go to the beach, you can go for a walk.
Correct. What about people selling kites? Can I continue? Can I sell kites on the road?
No. No. Please do not sell kites.
Because there you go. Go and fly them. Anyhow, the bodywork men are asking, I can do bodywork.
No, but let...
Go ahead.
The bodywork men are asking.
The bodywork men are asking if they could... They have a couple jobs that they can do at home without coming into contact with anyone. Can they continue to do that work?
Yes, that's a person who is self-employed doing the business at home. We're not going to tell a bodywork man who has a car parked alongside himself that he can't go and work on it. Remember at all times, and Anton, please, if you can help me with this, mm-hmm. at all times our mission is to reduce human-to-human spread. Mm-hmm. We're telling people to stay at home. Okay? But while we're closing businesses, and we're saying to them, we have to close your physical presence in the marketplace so that your employees will stay home and your customers will stay home. But clearly, a mechanic shop, I mean, we're all bidding, we know what we're talking about. A mechanic who is working on a car at his house is being a most responsible person. I would hope that the mechanic does not continue to take in work while we are in curfew, but we certainly would not be looking to go to anybody's workshop at the house to tell them, you know, to stop fixing a car.
Again, Barbadians are very literal people. I remember listening to you in Parliament, you say a construction done enough, you're building a step, but I didn't take it literal.
Yes.
I think if I build in a little step home in my backyard, I finish in
it. No, but you see, but we have to differentiate. What we're doing is closing businesses. Mm-hmm. We're not stopping people from doing their own thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. A man who is building his own yard wall is not engaged in a business.
Correct.
All right? Yep. An electrician who is fixing somebody's air conditioning unit in the workshop, we're not going to be policing that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if that repairman is bringing to work his staff, that's a no-no.
Correct. Okay, good.
I think a lot of the answers to these questions, mm-hmm. When we think them through and start out from the premise that we're minimizing human-to-human contact, we will have no problem. And let me say, I know we got to move on, but let me say that the government is encouraging all those businesses that have been closed, where their physical presence is closed, to let the employees work from home. Mm-hmm. We're closing your physical space, but we are not shutting down your operation if you can do it remotely.
Good. So, Corey, if I may come in, just to add to what the AG is saying, what we're currently doing in Barbados is unprecedented because we have a contagion that requires spread from a human to a human. If we were to take the entire population of Barbados and to have them absolutely stand still and not in contact, well, not standing still, but not in contact with another human being, and that means not within a 3 to 6 foot radius, the contagion has no way of continuing to spread. Those persons who are sick will eventually get better when their immune system eventually fights off the bug successfully, and you will not get the continued spread. You would have essentially contained and stopped the spread of COVID-19 in Barbados. But realistically speaking, that can't happen. So not all persons in Barbados can absolutely stop interacting with other humans. And that's why you have the essential services. So once somebody's doing something at home and they're alone, and they continue to practice social distancing, or physical distancing rather, that person is not only in keeping with the law, but from a public health standpoint, they're keeping themselves safe and persons around them safe, just in the event that they themselves were positive for COVID and asymptomatic at that time.